at Premier High School.
We are a tuition-free charter school serving grades 9 through 12. We offer a personalized program which gives you the opportunity to recover credits, graduate early, attend school around a work schedule, career and technical training, earn college credits while in high school, become eligible for military service. Learn more about how you can reach your goal.
When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother.
Okay, we're going to be talking today about basically post-deliverance, maintenance, and like guarding, safekeeping. Let's go ahead and pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation, but continually towards your only begotten Son. And I just pray for any sister that's listening that that she takes this serious and really listens to it so that she may be more fruitful for your glory and not be bound by the powers of darkness anymore. Ask all these prayers in your Father, Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so just as you heard, Jesus talk about in the scriptures what happens when an unclean spirit leaves someone, that it comes back, okay? So I'm praying this will be helpful in any sister that's listening, just overcome it, okay? So what I'm going to do is just share my testimony and what the Holy Spirit taught me and what I've seen stumble other believers when this happens, okay? I had an unclean spirit of gluttony, okay, that I didn't know I had it, but I just knew I couldn't stop. I had no power over my flesh, and these seasons would hit where I would eat, and I couldn't seem to control myself. And so with prayer and fasting, I sought the Lord so I could have power, and lo and behold, through prayer and seeing the Spirit, and I've heard this happen with other people in spiritual warfare as well in the church. I saw the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ come, and he took the thing out of me and saw it on the side and actually looked like a slug. Really, really, really disgusting, which was exactly how it behaved when it would rise up and have these seasons of power over me. That's exactly what I felt like, was like a slug. I would sleep a lot, eat a lot, had no power to do anything, and it would come up. I'd be doing well, things would be going well, and all of a sudden I would just lose all my power and victory, and it would turn me right just into a slug. Like I would be like really lazy and just eat and not do anything, and from my understanding it entered when I was around 12 years old. And it is generational. My family struggles with that type of spirit. And once it did leave, it just felt like a vacuum almost, like something was gone out of me that had been there for a really long time. I think it was like 22 years or something. I think it was like 34 when it came out or something. But the part that was very important was how the Holy Spirit took me on a journey after it had left my temple, on how to prevent it from returning. Okay, it came back probably about, I want to say like 2 years or so. Yeah, I think it was around 2 years later. It was always kind of messing with me, but it came back, like he said, with 7 worse spirits. It came back with force. And I hit this really, really, really intense season of spiritual warfare where I could feel it just trying to take me captive again. Okay? But before it did return, the Holy Spirit led me on this journey of daily behaviors, okay, and changing of habits that are a permanent way of life. And I enjoy them. I love them. They're not like dreadful or anything. They're wonderful. I'm really happy with them. To basically, before that happened, okay, and I could see when I did hit that season where it did come back, that it was just like a lifeline. It like totally just like kept all my gates closed spiritually. So what happened was pretty much over that period of time, the Holy Spirit was teaching me that though it was a generational spirit, that it had taught me, basically it trickles down, or mine did anyways. First, let me say this, each spirit's different, okay? So well, I'm sharing my testimony, but it's not going to be one size fits all, okay? They're all different, okay? You read through the Gospels, you see Jesus handles, he commands things out, but he deals with things in a different way. And you just have to be like super humble, okay? And abide in the vine, and the Holy Spirit will teach you, okay? And explain these things to you, and you just need to be listening to him, because like I said, that the spirit that I had, how it behaved, each one's different, okay? So it's not going to be the same for each, you know, spirit, unclean spirit. But I'm just sharing my testimony because, of course, if the Holy Spirit is doing anything similar or whatever, it'll be helpful, okay, and edifying to any sister that's listening, okay? So he basically took me through this journey of, like, prayer and fasting, first of all, okay, was a part of my just daily routine, okay, and weekly routine. He'd give me a time. He would tell me when to fast, okay? But it was part of like a regular, because once again, I want to make this clear. Fasting, for example, you can fast, do a long water fast, or whatever. There's different types of fasting when you look through the Bible, but fasting doesn't always necessarily need to be, you know, for a whole day. It could be, you know, for an hour a day, okay? It's all different, okay, depending on how the Holy Spirit's leading you. But he led me to pray and fast, and incorporate that into a daily routine for me, a weekly and daily routine, just like a part of like a regular habit, okay? So it wasn't just like at seasons, but it was a continual like way of life for me. And then daily reading my Bible and abiding in the vine. Abiding in the vine daily, you know, both in my heart and my mind with continual prayer, but then also setting aside time. There's a teaching I have before this called the vine, which gets into that, but which prayerfully could be helpful with more detail. But daily reading my Bible, not going one day without reading my Bible. And then he would teach me, basically, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 16. It says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Okay, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." So our body is a temple, okay, for the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit taught me was that the, even though the spirit, for example, that I had was generational, okay, it wasn't just a spirit, but it was also like actual sin that I was taught to do from an early age, okay, which was like going to food for comfort, making it an idol, okay, and just like loving food. This is, like I said, each situation is different, but this was mine. Taking food and out of its place where it belongs, okay, and exalting it. And so it was generational, but then at the same time, I was taught from an early age to do behaviors that would basically open doors to my temple, okay? So I needed to cleanse my family tree with the blood, but then also repent of all the behaviors that I was taught that opened my doors and changed them fully and pretty much go in the opposite direction. So, like, for example, for me, food was always now about the Lord's Supper. So it went to a different, you know, direction where it was, he was the center of every meal. But then also to fasting and things like that. But basically, the Holy Spirit taught me that, like, the Spirit, all the time that had spent inside of me, it had... Now, I was not only taught at a young age to open my doors spiritually to the unclean spirit, but then as it resided in me, it also gave me thought patterns and, like, behaviors that had to go, okay? Because these were things that were opening my doors spiritually to it, okay? It kind of, like, changed me inwardly to make me a suitable place for it to live. So I just had all these behaviors. So there are things that had to go, for example, sleeping in, you know, when it wasn't time to sleep in, regulating my behavior. He led me to exercise on a regular basis. And this is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. He says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." So it was, because, like, for example, mine was like a fleshy demon. They're all different though. But the Holy Spirit, like, taught me, was that they're almost, it's almost like the jungle. The way the Lord explained it to me, each spirit is different. Each unclean spirit, and nature is a good example to help teach this. Like, for example, you see here, this is Revelation chapter 16, and it says, starting at verse 13, it says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet." And then this is Revelation chapter 18. Starting at verse 2, it says, it's talking about the whore of Babylon, and it says, "And he cried with the mighty, with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird." And then just if you go through the book of Revelation, it describes these spirits as different, like, animals, kind of. So each one is different. So, because I've seen them as, like, spiders, okay? Saw one, it was a massive spider. And it was, or another time, actually, I saw a spider that was connected with sickness. So they're all, like, different, okay? So the way that you're probably going to need to arm yourself, and you want to be very humble. The thing about all of this, see, the thing is, we don't know anything, okay, as people. This stuff is hidden from us, and it's taught to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So when he's talking to you and you're hearing stuff, and it seems like he's guiding you and it matches up with Scripture, like, for example, crucifying my flesh, fasting, reading my Bible, all these are, you know, perfectly biblical things to do. Waking up early, okay, again, the prophets in the Old Testament, rising early, Joshua rising up early, Jesus, he would arise early, as Scripture says, many hours before the sun. All these have, like, biblical roots. But when he's talking to you and teaching you, you have to be humble, because, you know, I'm not going to catch, for example, you know, a bear with a fishing line. You know what I mean? They're two different animals. My fishing line could sit there all day long. The bear would trample right over it. So you need to, like, just be really humble, because when the Holy Spirit's talking to you and he's telling you not to do something or to do something, okay, even if it sounds difficult, You need to crucify your flesh and obey him, okay? And be really humble and abiding in the vine and reading your Bible because, each situation is different. He's protecting you, okay? And the problem is, unless you've had a revelation, okay? Because, for example, spirits come out of people all the time. The Lord granted me to be able to actually see it like that, okay? But that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody's going to see what comes out of them, okay? Each situation is different. Okay, but you may or may not know what kind of spirit came out of you and what its tactics are, okay, to sort of, re-inhabit you, okay? So you need to be just really humble when the Holy Spirit's telling you to do stuff because he's safeguarding you, and it's going to be specific to that, to both you, okay, and what your pitfalls and temptations are and what type of tactics that spirit's going to use to reclaim you, okay? So again, everything changed for me. Crucifying my flesh was daily. I just had a C-section, but I went for a walk, okay? And I was fine. My body healed up perfectly and everything. But I was like, I am not going to slip back into old habits in any way, shape, or form because I do not want this thing back. Because, not because of fear, and I never would harm my body or anything like that. But what I'm trying to say was I needed to, the scripture says, continually keep my body under subjection, okay? Because I didn't want that flesh coming back and being used against me, okay? The way the Holy Spirit taught me was that our flesh is like this wild horse, okay? And if you get on a wild horse that has not been tamed, it'll kill you, okay? But if you tame your flesh, if you tame that horse and train it and bring it under obedience, then it's a useful, wonderful animal to get you, from A to B, okay? Same thing with the flesh. Under the subjection of the Holy Spirit, it carries us, gets us around this place until we're set free and go home, okay? But if it's running things and if it's in charge of you, okay, you can expect to be overthrown, okay? So again, going back to that, he was showing me things that opened doors for me, okay? Like I said, sleeping too much. Certain foods had to go. They were just gone. I don't know why that particular spirit just gained power. I have no idea, but I didn't matter, okay? He said, let that go. And once again, this is scripture, okay? It says, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body should be cast into hell. Okay? So the deception is, a lot of times, at least for me, and I've seen it also too with other believers, when you're going through this process, when the Holy Spirit's saying, get rid of it, put it in the trash, cut it from you, have nothing to do with it, say goodbye, whatever it is, don't play with that thing, okay? It's because of the scripture that's going to open you up, okay, and have that thing come back at you. It's going to give that spirit legal access to come back upon you, okay? Or it'll lead you towards that spirit, okay, and lead you back towards whatever it was that spirit had you entangled in, okay, in the way that it had power over you, okay? Because a deception is, oh, okay, it's not that big of a deal. No, it's not that. It's not this. It's, you're being legalistic. It's not that serious, and they'll counterfeit the Holy Spirit, okay? Once again, that's why the Bible is so important, okay? This is Galatians chapter 5, verse 9. It says, a little leaveneth the whole lump. Okay? So it's just a little bit, okay? It's just a little bit. And the next thing you know, okay, you're leavened the whole lump. You're right back to where you were again, okay? Entangled, and Satan's got power over you again, okay? And you're a prisoner again. You don't want that, okay? So when don't be surprised when the Holy Spirit is like this with you. And you got to abide in the vine and get power from him, because I will say this, his grace is sufficient. What happens is you're obedient, okay? Like, for example, with me, I was obedient. He'd say, get rid of this, none of that. At first, it was hard, but I was obedient. And then the scripture says, obedience is better than sacrifice, okay? I mean, so what would happen is I would be obedient, okay? And then the next thing you know, okay, his grace kicks in and it becomes second nature, I don't even notice that I'm doing it anymore, okay? Because it's a supernatural power given by the Holy Spirit, but you have to obey Him first, okay? So it's not that hard forever, okay? It's just for a season, and then once you get used to it, and, you know, and you tame that flesh, or whatever it is He's telling you to do, and just that grace kicks in, and it becomes like breathing. It's like you don't even notice it. Like, when I look back at how I used to be, how I am now, I have all these habits that are super, you know, because, for example, the devil that inhabited my temple was, you know, was a gluttony devil, okay? It was like a slug thing. So all of my habits, okay, they're mostly fleshly, okay? Like how I eat, like I said, prayer, fasting, exercise, things like that. Each situation is different, though, okay? But when I look back, okay, at how I'm like, I just need to glorify God. At my lifestyle right now, then I look back at how I used to be. Like, it was a pipe dream for me. I was like, I would love to live my life like that, but it was just so hard for me because I had no power and victory. But now I'm, like, really healthy. You know what I mean? Like, the things that I eat and, like, my lifestyle and everything like that, they're, like, really healthy. And I'm, like, really happy. You know what I mean? And it's not anything that's, like, difficult and stressful and hard, okay? It's, like, just second nature, okay? It's like brushing my teeth every day. I don't even think about it anymore, okay? But I was fighting a spiritual battle. I was fighting a demon, okay? And so, for example, when he would have me change my eating, for example, like, it was a process of faith where I had to let go of certain things because my flesh still desired it. But then after a while, things changed inwardly by the power. You have to have faith, okay? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And I was eating really healthy. And then, like, now you could give me something, like I said, you can eat whatever you want. The Bible says so, as led of the Holy Spirit, okay? But there's no, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad about eating, you know, like junk food or anything like that, okay? I'm not saying that, but I'm saying for me, I'm just sharing my testimony, okay? For me, okay, because of the change that the Holy Spirit made within me, okay, where I actually used to really like eating junk food. I mean, it was like cupcakes, candy. It was horrible. Like the most sugary, refined, processed sugar junk food you could think of. It was like I would just eat it, a lot of it. It was really bad. It was a demon, okay? I think it was trying to kill me, okay? I probably would have ended up with diabetes in my 30s. But anyways, it was really bad the way that I used to treat my temple. But it was, you know, was that spirit. But anyways, what I'm trying to say is, let's see, I'm not trying to make anybody feel good. You know, let all things be done in moderation, for the Lord is at hand, Scripture says. So, you know, I'm not saying people can't eat that type of food, but I'm saying for me, it was hard because my flesh would crave that stuff. So when the Holy Spirit would change things and have me eat things that were good for me, for a season it was difficult, okay? Because the food wouldn't actually, like, taste good to me, okay? But I knew that's what He wanted me to do, and I pressed on through obedience. And then now, you can put that stuff right in front of me, okay? You couldn't pay me to eat the way I used to, okay? I would never want to eat like that again. Things have changed inside of me to where I crave food that is good and nutritious for my temple and healthy for me. Because for me, and everybody's different with that, when I have that, okay, that nutritious food, it's for me, you know, like I said, taking the Lord's Supper and things like that, to me, what it means, and each situation is different, okay, but for me, what that means to me is the love of Christ, okay, how He nurtures me and cares for me, okay, He gives me things that are good for me. It cares about me, okay? So eating that nutritious food is not just something that's done, you know, necessarily with, like, the palate of my tongue and the taste of the food, but it's deep and inward and spiritual, because it also, for me, okay, after a lifetime of being abused by a demon, in all honesty, okay, and having that thing gone, okay, for me, okay, that nutritious food, it symbolizes the love of Christ. Okay, the way that He cares for me, He would never give me anything that is bad for me, and would never desire to hurt me, but only wants good for me, okay, beyond what I can understand, okay? So it's like a whole inside-outside makeover, okay? Inward and then out to the, you know, from the inner man all the way out into the, you know, bringing fruit about carnally in the flesh, okay? Outward, complete transformation, okay? But that little love and the love is really important, because what I do see with Christians, they will have victory, but then they go back and they play with stuff. I'm looking at my, I don't think the Lord wants you to have anything to do with that, okay? And you'll know because it's sin, okay? Sin opens doors, okay? And it can be more obvious sin versus more deep and hidden sin that may not be as obvious to others, but you'll know because you'll be convicted, okay? And then this is James chapter 5. Verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So that asking for prayer, don't be shy, okay? The Holy Spirit has to lead you because you don't want anybody that's going to be a stumbling block to you, okay? Because this time, I'm going to tell you, post-deliverance, okay, is very important and very personal. Not everybody's going to necessarily understand, especially in terms of the way that the state of the church is today with this cheap grace doctrine, okay? Because what you'll find, each situation is different. The Holy Spirit is just going to have you stay away from anything that's sin, okay? And what may be sin for you may not be sin for another, okay? And so if you're struggling with it and you're asking for prayer, but you've got believers, you know, or you can't turn to people who are lacking wisdom, okay, and don't understand the severity of the situation, okay, because they might look at you and go, what's the big deal, okay? I'm here always, you know, if you need prayer, but you do want to go to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit lead you, okay, on who to go to ask for prayer, okay, in terms of, you know, just if you are stumbling, and it's really important, like he says, confess. Gotta confess, okay? Because I know for me, if I would stumble, okay, I would have confessed it, okay? Because when you bring it to light, okay, Satan loses its power, okay, over you. Like, the devil operates off of, like, hiding things and darkness and little creepy, crawly, dirty holes, okay? When you bring it to the light, not only does it make you accountable to another believer, okay, but it also brings it to light, okay, so that it's there and it makes it, it loses its, like, secretive power, okay, over you, okay? So that was a big one, confessing. Anytime I would stumble, just confess, okay? As the Holy Spirit would lead me to, okay? But and ask for prayer, okay? And they would pray for me, and it would be helpful, okay? And sometimes you may even find that there's someone who has more understanding on something, too, it can help you, okay? And give you some more wisdom on the situation that you can, so that you can be more victorious, okay? But again, I just want to urge you to take it serious, okay? Because from what I've seen for both myself and with other believers, it's the biggest deception, okay, that Satan gets people on during these periods, okay? This is a fight. We have to know this is a battle, okay? A knockdown, drag-out fight for your soul, okay? You don't want to underestimate things. It's better, I would say, that it's sound counsel to be more cautious and then let the Holy Spirit back you up a bit. Okay, get rid of everything and then let him teach you what to bring back if there's anything to be brought back, okay? And be just really zealous with it and repent and get everything out, okay? And remove everything and change things, change habits. Like for me, for example, I wake up really, really, really early, really, really, really early, okay? Because I was zealous. I was like, no, this thing is not going to have me again. I am so happy. I am so free. I have all this power and victory. I don't ever want to go back to that. Okay, being a slave to that devil, okay, to where I was a complete prisoner to my flesh. I hated it, okay? And what happened was, not a big deal, okay? The Holy Spirit just said, you can wake up a little bit later, sleep in a little bit more, get a little more rest because you're tired. He'll correct you. You can trust in his grace, okay? But it's better to err on the side of caution and reverence, okay? Right? Okay? And be very zealous in your repentance and very zealous in cutting things off from you, okay? Then to take it not that serious, okay? And then have that little leaven the whole lump and just constantly be falling. Because what I've seen, when that happens and then the person keeps falling and falling and falling, then it wears away at their faith, okay? And they start to doubt if they'll ever be free, not knowing that it's that little leaven that leaveneth the whole lump, okay? And then also to be looking, search it out, okay? Because each spirit is different, but certain demons have. This is Proverbs 16, verse 4. It says, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil, okay? So, for example, looking back, okay, that spirit had a purpose, okay? He works in things, but I look back, that spirit actually ended up protecting me from a lot of, from getting into situations that would have led me astray, okay, onto a path that was not of God, because it was, you know, it embarrassed me. I guess I'm going to explain it. It would embarrass me, which would cause me to stay away from certain things that actually were evil, but my thinking at the time was worldly, so I didn't realize that. I was after and lusting of things that were of the world, okay? But that thing was an inhibitor for me that would come up and stop it. And then eventually, of course, it humbled me and brought me, you know, to my knees. I wanted that thing gone, okay? And then brought me to repentance, okay? So be looking for, you know, have an open ear if the Holy Spirit's talking to you about its purpose, okay? Is it... Because if you're, you know, because you want to get rid of it, you don't want to stay in that state, and you want to be guarded upon its return. But during that time, be aware if he's teaching you things, okay? Be aware if there's a deep thing. I've also seen spirits be used if a person is running away from the conviction of the Holy Ghost, okay? I've seen spirits used to get them to say no and kind of turn their ears in that direction and kind of like force them to look at something that they don't want to look at, okay? Because they keep stumbling, okay? And then they have to really search, okay? So the Bible says that they have these things have a purpose, okay? They're created by God for a reason. So you want to be searching out that reason. Because staying in a state of deception will just prolong the whole battle. I need to make this clear. Once again, be zealous. Don't worry about what anybody thinks of you, okay? It's you. Okay? It's you that's going to be the prisoner, okay? Because you're going to see so much resistance, okay? When I started changing things and getting rid of stuff and saying, no, I'm not, I got tons of resistance. I didn't care. I was like, I'm not going to be a slave to that devil ever again by the grace of God. I don't ever want to go back, okay? I don't ever want to go back. I got a taste of freedom and I ran with it full speed. I was like, I'm out of this place spiritually in terms of, you know, sort of that place of sin, okay? Because you're going to have resistance, but remember, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks about you, okay? All that matters is the Lord's opinion of you, okay? And then, of course, the correction of other spirit-filled believers if they are trying to talk to you about something. But what I'm trying to explain is don't worry if people get offended, they get upset, they don't like it, it's inconvenient for them. Whatever it is, it's making problems for them in their life of sin. It doesn't matter. You're the one that's going to be a prisoner, okay? And stuck in that state. Okay, it's your freedom. Okay, be bold, be faithful, be zealous. Okay, you know, Jesus says, be obedient unto death. In the book of Revelation, just have that mind frame that you're not going down. Okay, and you're gonna fight because that thing will come back again. Okay, and when he takes you through this process of preparing you for its return, you want to stand in victory. Okay, and then again, can't emphasize the importance of confessing. If you stumble and the Holy Spirit is telling you, you need to confess and ask for help. Do it, okay? Do it. Do it, do it, do it, okay? And then also keep, and that's another thing the Holy Spirit taught me, with thoughts, okay? During that time, you know, it was like if I stumbled outwardly, okay, and actually did something that I knew the Holy Spirit didn't want me to do, repent, get cleansed and washed in the blood. The power is in the blood, okay? So just keep washing yourself in that blood. The power is in the blood, okay? Over and over again, and you'll grow in strength and power. Then also the thoughts and in the mind, okay, and in the heart. If I even thought about something, I knew the Holy Spirit didn't want me to think in that direction. There were days where I confessed, not to others, but to the Holy Spirit. I would just, this is 1 John chapter 1, starting at verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Okay? And as verse 9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay? So there were days where I was just, it was countless times I would confess and be cleansed in the blood. Okay? And it was just all day long because I was being hit up with like fiery darts and stuff. I would be thinking things. I knew the Lord didn't want me to think. So I just kept getting cleansed and I would confess it and cleanse it, confess it and cleanse it, confess it and cleanse it. And then next day it'd be less, next day less. And then eventually nothing. Okay. Complete victory. Okay. So you may feel like, you know, am I doing this too much? Am I worrying? what are you doing? Okay, is it in line with the Word of God? Okay, does it have to do, you know, well, ultimately what the truth is that if you're seeking the Lord with your whole heart and desiring to obey Him, and you're off, trust that He'll correct you, okay? Believe in that, okay? But don't go with the sway of the world, okay, that is lukewarm about sin. Because if you have that thinking, and the Holy Spirit's telling you to be zealous, it's for a reason, and telling you to be very intense with your repentance, very intense with your cleaning out of sin, okay? There's tons of scripture for that, okay? And that is absolutely biblical. Just because it's not common the way that the world is, the church is, I'm sorry, today, okay, doesn't mean, okay, that it's wrong, okay? Because I know firsthand experience, that's how the Holy Spirit brought victory in my life. Perfect victory, okay? Perfect victory, okay? Not a stumble, not thought about it, nothing, okay? But that was a path that He led me down, okay? So if He is leading you that way, do it, okay? Because I can't express that enough. I've seen that where people didn't do that. And then they start doubting, okay? Not knowing that, no, it's a lack, okay, of obedience. It's a lack of zeal, okay? And then this is the book of James, chapter 4, verse 7. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, something that I didn't understand, the Holy Spirit taught me, and I want to help any sister that's doing this get this crystal clear, is when He says resist, it means 100%, not 99.9%, but 100%, okay? They're devils, okay? And you have the power of God with you. You have His grace to strengthen you, okay? But they're devils. So you can't, like it says, a little leaven, leaven the whole lump. You play with it just a little bit. You let a little bit of those thoughts in. You let a little bit of that temptation in. Next thing you know, you're overthrown again, okay? So when He says resist the devil and he'll free from you, He means, like from what I've seen, it's 100%. But it's not lacking in any way, shape, or form. It's like a brick wall, okay? No, okay? No, complete no, not maybe if, yes, if this happens, possibly here, what if there, no, if there's any hole in that wall, okay, those spirits will get through it, okay, they will find it and get through it and overtake you. You got to be really, really firm with the devil. It's got to be flat out no, okay, under no circumstances. And then, So once again, going just back to my testimony, the Holy Spirit took me through a journey of doing this, preparing myself, arming myself, becoming basically a fortified fortress, okay? Strong, okay? Doors shut, windows sealed, no access whatsoever. And then when that Spirit did come, okay, it was a season. Remember, it's a season, okay? If you resist the devil, he will flee from you. So it was a season, okay, where these things did come back and they tried to take me. I was asking for prayer. I was reading my Bible more, okay, even, okay, just filling up my temple with the Word of God, okay, just keep fighting, and they did get me a little bit, okay, during that season. I did stumble and fall a couple times, but I just kept getting back up, no matter what. Don't stay down, just keep getting up and keep fighting, okay, and then eventually the thing left, okay, and hasn't bothered me since, but like I said, it's, you know, Each spirit is different, okay? So you do want to be guarded, because I'm pretty sure if I went back and started doing any of the stuff that I used to do before, okay, dabbling in things I knew the Lord didn't want me to do, the things would probably come back, okay? So I'm not, like, foolish, like, now I have perfect victory, I'm going to go playing and sin again. No, okay? It's a constant way of life now. Things are different, and I'm really happy. I wouldn't ever want to go back anyways, okay? Because I'm completely free, okay? Okay, and then in all things have faith, okay? Holy Spirit will call you to have faith. Because since I'm talking about, you know, sort of acts of obedience and walking in the Spirit, I don't want to, in any way, shape, or form, gloss over faith. None of this is going to happen without faith. You have to have faith, okay? And then this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 27. It says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God hath set some, had set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, third teachers, and that, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Okay. And then also to chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 talks about speaking in tongues and interpretation. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And then this is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. It says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. The reason why I'm going over the scriptures is because there's some controversy for some reason about speaking in tongues. But the Bible clearly talks about it, okay, and says that it's a gift of the Spirit. Not everybody has it, okay, but I just want to go over those scriptures before I talk about it because, like I said, some people get uncomfortable with it, okay, but it is a prayer language. It says tongues of angels, okay, so it's like a heavenly language, I guess, that people don't understand. And then like it says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it explains more in detail in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 about interpreting it, okay? Because that's also a gift, like I just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But it's not understandable, okay? That's why you need an interpreter. You can't understand what it's saying, okay? So I just want to go over those scriptures because some people get uncomfortable when you get into speaking in tongues, okay? But I don't want to get off the subject because this is not a teaching on tongues. It's just about post-deliverance. And I'll just read. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Okay. And then this is verse 13. It says, wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. So it's clearly talking about something nobody can understand. Okay, I'm just going over those scriptures because I don't want to get off the subject. And then it talks about not doing it around people that won't understand. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 11. It says, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. So you want to be, you don't want to, if you do have the gift of speaking in tongues, because I have seen this be, read 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It goes into it because you're not going to be going around speaking in tongues, scripture says, in front of people who won't understand, okay, because they'll think you're, like it says, a barbarian. They're going to think you're, strange, okay, so it's not going to be fruitful, okay. But if you do pray, if you do have the gift of tongues, something that the Holy Spirit did with me was to use it daily, okay? I use it in the privacy of my own home, okay? I do know there's circumstances where, you may use it. But then again, when I've seen it be used in a circumstance, okay, then the interpretation came right afterwards, okay? So it wasn't strange. It was, interpreted, okay, so that it could be explained right afterwards for the glory of God, okay? But in terms of post-deliverance, he did teach me to use that gift daily, okay? Because I don't know how many things, like it says there, okay, that that when you pray, like your spirit is edified, but you don't really necessarily always know what's going on, okay? But I don't know how many of those things, that the Holy Spirit was keeping me from came through the praying of tongues, okay? He could have, that could have come through that intercession of the Spirit. And this is Romans chapter 8. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Okay. That was something else he let me do, is to do that daily, okay, praying, use that gift daily for a certain period of time. And it is very common. I do come a lot of that with spiritual warfare and like deliverance ministries. There's a lot of the usage of tongues because it's all like I spoke about earlier. It's all of this unknown stuff to us. Okay. We don't know what's going on in the spirit. Okay. The Holy Spirit's got to teach us and explain it to us. And then of course, if you don't have the gift of tongues and you want the gift of tongues, you can ask, okay, for the gift of tongues. And then this is a teaching, you know, for someone who's already had deliverance, you know, of course. But I do want to share with any sister that's listening, just in case this is edifying, my testimony, like the journey before the deliverance, like what happened, and what I've heard from other people in spiritual warfare, what's happened with them, how spirits have come out. For me, it was, I didn't know I had a spirit, okay? I didn't know I had an unclean spirit. I didn't think, like most Christians do today, I didn't think Christians could have an unclean spirit. I just knew that there was something really wrong, and I thought that I needed to crucify my flesh. I just was looking and searching. I just knew I just had a problem, and I just kept seeking God for help. But looking back, I could see, ugh, I hate that thing, sorry, oh, I'm so glad it's gone, just thinking about it in my temple is like disgusting, but looking back, I could see its presence, because it did alter my thoughts. I don't know if it was talking in my, like actually speaking, you know, within me, but I do know that every time that I would, it seemed like light was being shined upon it. It would blame others or circumstances. It just seemed to constantly deflect, my attention from its presence, looking back at it. So anytime I would start looking at repentance and like myself and going, I have a problem, I need to repent, I need to change, it would turn the focus towards other things like people, food, diets, of course, locations, things in my life. Like I kept trying to shift my thoughts outward to changing something outward. And then somehow that would fix everything. So looking back, it was definitely trying to stay in the shadows and like hide its presence. Oh, that's so disgusting. And it would rise up. So, I would have, and it would hide. It honestly behaved just like a worm is the only way I can describe it. It would duck down into the shadows for a season and then come up, okay? So its presence wasn't always obvious. I would have these periods where everything was just perfectly fine and I would be doing great. But then it would just come up and then all of a sudden it would get power over me and then I would be brought under its under subjection of it and would lose all control over my eating and like my sleeping and just basically even taking care of myself, just the basic stuff, like regular routine maintenance, of my daily life. I mean, it was like, I would end up calling in sick to work. It was just like, it would just kind of take over me and like this with the spirit of like, just real, it was a slug, like sluggardly behavior and like depression and just like pull me into like darkness. And so I just kept seeking and seeking and seeking. But I didn't know what was wrong. And, I had originally read through the NIV Bible. I didn't know that, I don't want to get off the subject, but I didn't know how the Bibles are being messed with and stuff. The Lord opened my eyes to that later. So when I found out, I was like, okay, I need to read the KJV Bible and I need to go on a fast, because I need to change. Something's wrong. I just was searching with all my heart, basically. So I went on an extended water fast, and at the same time, I read straight through, did like a marathon read with the KJV Bible. Looking back, I could see the power of God working in the Bible because almost the entire Old Testament of my Bible is underlined. My husband tries to read it because we read the Bible together in the evenings. He looks and he's like, I can't read. He always makes comments about how he can't read it because everything's underlined. But looking back, I could see that that was the word of God, like driving this devil out of my, soul. It was being like uprooted. I could feel something happening during that season. I didn't know what was going on, but at the same time, I was also repenting, like deep and inwardly, like he says, clean the inside of the cup. Let me go ahead and get that scripture. This is Luke chapter 11, verse 39. It says, and the Lord said unto them, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Okay? It says, ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? I wasn't necessarily a Pharisee. My stumbling block and my sin was different. But what it was is that I had changed a lot of things outwardly, like the sins I knew were bad. I didn't keep doing those, but inside, the light wasn't shining like deep inside with every thought and intention, you know, having real holiness deep inside my heart. You know, the presence of God, knowing that he's watching and observing all of my thoughts, everything that's deep inside of my heart and in my mind, like his presence wasn't fully shining there. He knew and he was aware. Obviously God knows and sees everything, but for me, there's still stuff that was hidden like deep inside the cup, like that scripture says. And so I started repenting like deep, like within my thoughts, you know, deep inside of my my thoughts and in my heart and in my mind, like just really repenting deep and inwardly. And I could feel during that season that something was being uprooted. I didn't know what was going on, but I just knew that there was like this something was like a gardener would go in to like the deep and dark parts of a garden that's in the shadows and like be pulling up weeds in there. Like that's what it felt like during that season. And then after I had finished the fast, and I can't remember if I had finished my Bible or not also too, but I think at that point I already finished it, but either way, I was just sitting there one day and made a confession. Led of the Spirit was anything that I was trying to say to get out, but it just came out, was that, you know, I just said that, you know, food is not sweet, but your word is sweet, you know. And then the Holy Spirit called me into my prayer closet to find, you know, to go into like a quiet place and pray. I began praying in tongues, and then it felt like I was vomiting, to be honest. I had no idea what was going on. Like I said earlier, I saw the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and this is all in prayer as I'm praying with, you know, my eyes closed, and the thing got thrust out of me with force and then thrown on the side. And then he brought to remembrance the first time that I bowed my knee to food. It was about when I was 12 years old, and I thought to myself, I can't remember what was going on. I think there was like all these problems within my family and everything. I just thought to myself that I was going to comfort myself with a packet of muffins. I was like, those are going to make me feel, they would like my comfort, happy, secret place, counterfeit, of course. And he brought that to my remembrance, and I figured that must be the Spirit helping me understand that that's the point when it was granted access into my temple. But I've heard of other believers also having similar experiences, because they kind of are just running. A lot of people are, you know, also too, like people that enter into the ministry with spiritual warfare, same similar testimony, not exact, but just kind of searching and not really knowing something was wrong, and they're trying to get help, and they're trying to, you know, crucify their flesh and walk in obedience, but they can't, okay? It's like they're really trying, but they just can't do it. There's some sort of spiritual power that keeps overthrowing them, and they start seeking the Lord. And I've heard similar things where they see where just Christ shows up and does deliverance on them. Because same thing for me. I mean, I was going from church to church, looking back, all these churches where they're not churches I would attend at this point, that's for certain. And you know, part of, you know, that lukewarm a warning in the Bible, and then some of them, I think, possibly even the falling away, and just not getting help, searching, looking, and then finally Christ just did it. You know, because I was blind as a bat. I had no idea that I had an unclean spirit at all. And so I've heard similar circumstances. I think one sister said she and another sister commanded authority over the spirits to depart. And she felt a spirit depart from her. Another one, same thing on a fast and something, and then the spirits departed. I'm trying to think. And then other, yeah, testimonies. I mean, you can look it up. There's probably lots of testimonies about that, like him just coming and doing deliverance because people just don't know. So he's like helping. He's just stepping in and taking care of things because he's our Savior. And I just want to glorify God for a moment because I'm just so grateful because I would have stayed like that, you know. I was lost. I was like completely lost. I had no idea. And so I'm just so exceedingly grateful that he came and like just did deliverance on me like that. I was like, you know, I mean, I'm just so grateful and so happy that he, you know, he takes care of us. So it doesn't matter what's going on. Like the Lord is not, he's never going to leave us or forsake us. He's not going to, you know, abandon us. He's going to take care of us. But I think it was just, you know, it was just for me, it was a process and everybody's different, but of just searching for him with my whole heart. And then that deep, 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 deep inward repentance. And then, prayer and fasting and then the Bible. I mean, honestly, I can't believe like, I mean, I honestly believe that that scripture was just as I, as the word of God was entering and filling my heart, you know, the KJV Bible, something spiritually deep was going on. Because like an entire, I look back, I'm like, the whole Old Testament is underlined. It's amazing. So I pray that's helpful, for any sister that's listening. Okay. And, I guess that's it. And, just blessings in Christ. Okay. Love you. Take care.
At Premier High School, we are a tuition-free charter school serving grades 9 through 12. We offer a personalized program which gives you the opportunity to recover credits, graduate early, attend school around a work schedule, career and technical training, earn college credits while in high school, become eligible for military service. Learn more about how you can reach your goal